Let me read the first three verses to you and then speak to you about the Word. All right, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, the same was in the beginning with God. And then all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The book starts this way, in the beginning. It's interesting as we look at the four gospel narratives. Matthew begins with the royal lineage of Messiah, whereas Mark begins with John the Baptist announcing the arrival of Messiah. Luke begins with the birth of John the Baptist, who then John baptized our Lord Jesus. We get to the Gospel of John, and he begins with a message that's very different, because he begins with our Savior's deity, that is the deity of Messiah. When you look in Matthew, he has the birth of the Savior. You get to the book of Mark, there's the baptism of the Savior. You get to Luke, it begins with the birth of John. Now, that fly's going to have to go. He did. And don't come back. Let me begin again. Matthew begins with the birth of Messiah. Mark begins with the baptism of Messiah by John the Baptist. Luke begins with John the Baptist announcing that he has entered into the world, that is, Messiah is here. He was the forerunner of Messiah. But then we get to John, and he begins by saying Messiah is the creator of all things. In other words, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they start by saying he's in the world. And that's glorious. It's glorious. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whereas they begin by saying he's in the world, you get to the Gospel of John, and John says before the world was ever made, he already existed. In fact, John says he made the world. He made the world. So we could say Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they look at the Savior and the beginning of his ministry in this world in what we call time. Whereas John begins before time ever began. And what John tells us is this: in the beginning, before the world was made, before God ever set the clock a ticking, before anything else existed, there was the Word. There was the Word. The Word was with God, as face to face with God. And the Word was, in fact, God. And he says, this same Word was in the beginning with God. He was face to face. That word with literally means face to face with God. He was there with the everlasting Father and the everlasting Spirit. Our brother read to us from the book of Wisdom, the book of Proverbs in chapter 8, where the Savior said, I was there with Him and I was ever His delight. We know this, that John writes to set forth our Savior's deity. There's no question about that. That's why he says in John chapter 20 and verse 31, these are written, that is, all that's in this book are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The very reason that John is led of the Spirit to write this, and it's interesting that John writes this about 50 years after our Lord's crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. This is 50 years later. John has outlived all the other apostles. And he writes this. And the Spirit of God, it inspires him to emphasize our Lord's eternality. He emphasizes his Godhead. And yet he still reminds us in verse 14 of this. And the Word was made flesh. That one who was from old eternity with the Father and with the Spirit, who dwelt in the serenity of the Blessed Trinity. And God was satisfied and delighted in himself. That one who is our Savior, the eternal Word, he was with the Father and the Spirit way back before time began. And then he tells us in verse 14, he stepped out of eternity into time. He who is God Almighty, glorious, beyond description, marvelous and wonderful in all of his ways, having all the attributes and all the perfections of God, this one who is the Lord of glory, he came down here, and the Scripture says he was made flesh and he dwelt, or he tabernacled among us. And so John said, and we beheld his glory. His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. There's his deity. And here's his humanity. And he's full of grace. And he's full of truth. And so John is led by the Spirit of God to write, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. That's the way Moses is led of the Spirit to begin the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of all things, when the foundations of the earth were laid, in the beginning of what we call time, we know time had a beginning, and it will have an end. Notice the difference between Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, though. Moses begins the book of Genesis, and Genesis means beginning, the book of beginnings. Moses begins the book of beginnings by saying, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Moses begins at the beginning, and then he proceeds forward to say what God did after he began creation. But this man, the Apostle John, he begins his book also at the beginning, but he doesn't go forward, he goes backward. He goes backward before time, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, the Word of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, he preceded time. He is the everlasting God. Remember, it's God's purpose to show that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the everlasting Son of God. Micah says this in Micah chapter 5, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, God says, unto me. He came for God. He came to offer the sacrifice that would satisfy God, so that God could be just and justify the ungodly. He says, he shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel. Now listen to this. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. From everlasting. This is the eternal word. You'll notice in the text it says, in the beginning. It doesn't say from the beginning. It says in the beginning. If it had said from the beginning, well, that would indicate that the Son of God came into being at that time. But when it says in the beginning, that tells us that before God began the beginning, he already existed. In the beginning, he already was. He is therefore the everlasting God. Look over at John chapter 8. You remember when our Lord is speaking with the leaders of Israel. John chapter 8. These men who despised him. These men who sought to kill him. The Savior said to them, go toward the end of the chapter, John chapter 8, and verse 56, John 8, 56. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day or my time. And he saw by faith, he saw Christ's day typically, and he saw and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what he was declaring. They knew exactly what he was saying. He was setting forth his eternality. He was setting forth his deity. And we know they understood what he was saying because of their reaction. Verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Always in the present tense. That's the reason we read in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. The great I am. Go back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, our Lord has healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. And he did so on the Sabbath day. This is a man who had been lame 38 years. The Savior healed him. He's the only man who was healed that day. An instance of sovereign mercy, distinguishing grace to this man. There was lots of sick folk there. The very first one who would get in the water when the angel troubled the water, they'd be healed. This man was lame. He couldn't get into the water. He had nobody to put him in the water. And there he lay in his helpless and hopeless state. And in that condition, he would remain the rest of his life, except for the fact that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And our Lord sovereignly sought him out. He found him and he showed him mercy. That sovereign, distinguishing grace, and that's the only grace the Bible knows anything about. Sovereign, distinguishing, free grace. And our Lord healed him on the Sabbath day. And the Jews got upset. The Jewish leaders got upset. Look at verse chapter 5 and verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 16, they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only, number one, broken the Sabbath, but number two, said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. When we say, when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word, in the beginning was the Word, here's what the Scripture is saying. He's equal with God because he is God. And to deny his deity, to deny that he's God over all, blessed forever, is to seal your own doom. Because nobody can save but God alone. Only God can raise the dead. Only God could put our sins away. Only God could satisfy God's justice. And yet only a man could suffer, bleed, and die. So the God-man. Great is the mystery of godliness. There's no controversy about this among God's people. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Why? That he could suffer, bleed, and die, and pay our debt of sin in full. He's the God-man. The reason his death means so much, the reason it accomplished so much, the reason it put away our sins and brought in everlasting righteousness, is because the one who died is none other than the eternal Word. He is the eternal Word. He's God and man. In the beginning was the Word. Back here in John chapter 1, the Apostle John, he carries our thoughts beyond the beginning of creation. In fact, he goes backwards into eternity, back into the bosom of the Father, when there were no angels, when there was nothing of substance anywhere. There was only God. And even then, the Word was in the bosom of the Father, equal with the Father in every way. He had every attribute of God, every perfection of God, and all the names of God belonged to him then. He's the everlasting Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. What happened in the beginning? It's interesting to just look up that expression, in the beginning. In the beginning. Look at a couple of references. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. In the beginning. Hebrews chapter 1. Give you a quick Bible drill here. In the beginning. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. And thou, Lord. By the way, in this great chapter, God calls him God. God calls him God. Back up, let me go back to this. Look at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Listen, worship is only due to God alone. Isn't that right? That's what the Bible teaches. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve. And yet God the Father commands the angels, worship my son. Well, he must be God then. Look at verse 7. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits? and his ministers a fire, a flame of fire. But under the sun, he said, thy throne, watch it, O God. God called him God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. Still speaking of Christ Jesus. Still speaking of the Word. In the beginning he laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of his hands. They shall perish, but the Word shall remain. They shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, O eternal Word. O eternal God, O eternal Son of God, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? God called him God. In the beginning he laid the foundations of the earth. Go to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there's none like me, declaring the end, when? From the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. When God made all of his counsels, when God established all of his purposes, when God established all of his decrees, the Son of God was there in the beginning. He was there with him. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Back to the New Testament. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. When all things were ordained, he was there. He was there. When all things were predestinated, and all things are, without exception, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And when all things were ordained by God, the Word was there. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit, they were there, doing the ordaining, doing the predestinating, doing the purposing. And watch this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning. Well, what did God do from the beginning? Well, he's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit of God gets on the trail of the lost sheep. And he separates that lost sheep from the ones that are in the wild and don't care anything, won't care anything about the Lord. They're not the Lord's people at all and won't ever be. And he separates them and he enables them to believe the truth. Trace it all back to God's electing grace. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, verse 14, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, before the earth was made, Christ the Word, in and by whom God the Father made all things, in and by whom God the Father would reveal himself to sinners, the Word was there. There. fact, back in our text where it says, you notice the word was back in John chapter 1. Look at the word was. Four times in the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In other words, what that's saying is He existed beforehand. In the beginning. He didn't come into existence with all of creation. Why, verse 3 tells us all things were made by Him. All of creation came into existence due to the incarnate Word, the ever-living Word of God. He spoke and it came to pass. This is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. John calls our Lord Jesus Christ the Word. The Word. That's an expression used in the New Testament mainly by John. And in this way he identified Jesus of Nazareth as being the very Christ of God. And yet one who is distinct from the Father. I can think of a couple of other passages where he's referred to in the New Testament by being spoken of as the Word by writers other than John. And one would be in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. Look at Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. In fact, this Word of God pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You say, well, that's talking about the written Word. Well, you know, oftentimes in Scripture you can't discern whether it's talking about the written Word or the incarnate Word. Because read on. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. That is, in the sight of the Word. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Then the other reference is in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to look at this one. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The word of God, by the word of God, the heavens of old came into existence. But it's John who primarily uses this. Look over just a little, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Where was the Word before He came? He was with the Father. And then He was manifested unto us. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. These three are one. They bear record in heaven. What do they bear record of? What do these three bear record of? We say they bear record that the Word is the eternal God. They don't need to bear record in heaven that the Word is the eternal God. Everybody in heaven already knows that. They bear record of this. They bear record that God has given to His people eternal life, which is given to His people justly on the basis of the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they bear record of. The Father bears record that redemption has been accomplished by exalting His Son. God the Son, the eternal Word, bears record that the work of redemption is finished by the fact that He's our advocate. As John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, "My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The fact that He's there in glory bears record that He's our advocate, and He finished the work that God gave Him to do. And then God the Holy Spirit bears record of the accomplishment of reconciliation and redemption by the Word, by quickening us by His power and revealing to us what Christ has already done for us. The Lord Jesus is the Word of God. In John chapter 19, we read this, and if you're taking note, it's John chapter 19, verse 13. His name is called the Word of God. That's His name. He's the Word of God. He's the final and perfect revelation of God. Go back to our text quickly. In the beginning was the Word. This word, W-O-R-D, what does it mean? What is a word? Well, somebody said a word is a vehicle of thought. Words convey my ideas. I prepared this message for you today. Been looking over it for several days, of course, but the way that I convey my words, my thoughts, my desires to you is by way of words. Words. What a fitting name for our Lord. He is God told out. God has conveyed to us His thoughts, His will, His purpose, His person through His Son. He's the Word. No wonder the Father said three times this is recorded. The Father said it's recorded in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son." And in all three passages, He says, "You hear Him. Hear ye Him." Why? He's the Word. He's the Word. The only way you'll ever hear from God is through the Word. And the only way God will ever receive you is through the Word. See, everything God hath... There's that fly again. Everything God has to say to us is through His Word. And everything we have to say to God must go through the Word. And in the Old Testament, I'm sure you've noticed many times in the Old Testament, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to so-and-so." Well, I believe that's saying Christ Jesus in pre-incarnate form came to them and communicated the will of God and the words of God. Because I know this, God will not speak to nor be spoken to by any son or daughter of Adam except through a mediator. Now you can write that down. And the only mediator between God and men is the man Christ Jesus. So in the Old Testament, when the word of the Lord, as it says in the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 15, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Abraham." That's the eternal Word. That's Christ. That's Christ. He communicated the will of God to Abraham. A word is an expression. It's a means of manifestation. A word is communication. A word is revelation. What does Christ Jesus do? He manifests the invisible God. He communicates the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord. He reveals the attributes and the perfections of God. The Word of God then is deity expressing Himself to us. Therefore, Christ Jesus is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and then it says, and the Word was with God. And I've already told you that literally means the Word was face to face with God. That is, He was toward God. As one equal with God. But it means more than that. It means He was in agreement with God. All right, here I am preaching tonight. And I might say something like this, are you with me? I'm not asking, are you standing up here on the platform with me? I know you're not. What I'm asking, are you in agreement with me? That's another meaning of this word. And the Word was with God. He was in agreement with God. There's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They're agreed in all that they do. All that they do. In John chapter 10, you remember when our Lord's talking about the sheep? He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. They'll never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What, is that just talking about the oneness of the Trinity? Well, it's certainly talking about that, but even more. In God's eternal purpose of grace concerning His sheep and their everlasting safety and preservation, the Son of God says, I and the Father are one on their safety. We're in absolute agreement on this. When God chose a people unto salvation, there was absolute agreement within the Trinity. When the Son of God volunteered to be our surety and our substitute and our Savior, there was absolute agreement in the Trinity. When the Spirit of God said He would take the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ and raise dead sinners from their graves and grant unto them repentance, repentance of their dead works and idolatry and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity was in agreement. That's what this means. And the Word was with God. He is in agreement with God. All of God's purposes, the Word was there. He was the one who was purposing. He was the one who was decreeing. But then it says, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. To me, it's absolutely impossible for anyone to read those words with any degree of honesty and misunderstand them. The Word was God. John here tells us that the eternal Word was, is, and ever shall be in His nature, in His essence, and in His substance, very God of very God. That's what He tells. There's no inferiority of the Word to the Father. He's equal with God in every way. If He's not God, He can't save us. And He can't satisfy the Father. And I know He's God because of verse 3. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Such a simple yet powerful statement. It's not confusing. Here's a very positive statement and a negative statement. Here's the positive statement. All things were made by Him. Well, who made all things? The Word. And here's the negative. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Everything that exists, He made. He made. I read a story about a little girl walking with her daddy. She'd been the father had been talking to her about this world belongs to the Lord. He made it all. And she stopped. Some wildflowers growing there. She stopped and said, "Daddy, do you think the Lord would mind if I pick some of his flowers?" It's all his. And we're his by grace. And the word is ours. To God be the glory. Well, let's sing a closing song. What we got? Number 125, Jesus paid it all. And on the course